The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Now, a chemical found in weed killer was discovered in one in four Irish people who took part in a University of Galway study. The tests for glyphosate were carried out on 68 families, including 14 families who live on farms. The substance found in weed-killing products such as Roundup and has been the subject of much controversy over potential adverse health effects. And of course, then we learned last year, didn't we, that it's still being widely used by some local authorities as well. Dr. Alison Connolly is an exposure scientist who conducted the research, and Alison joins us now. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for the invite.
I don't know, going into this type of research, did you have a guess or a theory as to how many people you might find traces in?
So we've been conducting these studies for nearly a decade at this stage. We have done previous studies looking at workers' exposures. And during them studies, we found that there seemed to be a background level of exposure. So we've done a small pilot study looking at 50 adults, and we found that 20% of them had some detectable levels of glyphosate. I have to say it was all very low-level exposure, but we wanted to further investigate whether there'd be exposure among families. And as you said, we wanted to look at both farm and non-farm families. But the results we found in this study are quite similar to what's been found throughout Europe. So it's not a surprise that we have found some low-level exposure.
And how do you determine the level of exposure? You know, I don't know if the terminology, but like there's a half-life with stuff, I presume, when you're initially exposed, as to when you pick up the low levels, you know, how do you calibrate that to know, you know, was it a low level of exposure yesterday or was it a low level of exposure during the summer and it's worn off? Or maybe you could explain that for us.
So we analyse urine samples to determine the level of glyphosate within the system. So this is called human biomonitoring. It's classed as the gold standard of chemical risk assessment for humans. And we can analyse to very sensitive levels. So the analytical method that we developed for this study was measures to 0.05 micrograms per litre. So you could imagine this is like really minute levels that we measure when we measure environmental exposure. But as you said, from exposure to actually detecting it in samples, so there is a very short half-life of glyphosate in the human body. So we've done studies on this before and we found that the half-life, so how long it takes for half the chemical to eliminate from the body, can be between 5.5 and 10 hours. So we assume that it's recent exposure when we measure these kind of chemicals, because glyphosate as well is mostly eliminated from the body. So it's not like some of the older chemicals where they were persistent and they would bioaccumulate. So it's fast eliminating and it mostly eliminates through urine and feces.
Right. So then presumably, because I don't think this is sprayed 365 days a year, then presumably when you draw those samples or when you access those samples, is if it were at different times of the year, would you expect different results?
That's very true. So you would expect maybe in spring, where a lot of spraying might go ahead, that you might find slightly elevated levels. But we tested even workers at this and we found that when we compare it to reference values, so in the European Union, we do have guidance values for this. So for workers, an acceptable operator exposure level. And then for the general population, it's called an acceptable intake level. So, or an acceptable daily intake level, sorry, an ADI. And these are provided by the European Food Safety Authority. So what we usually do is we take these samples, the concentrations, and we back calculate to what the acceptable daily intake would be, and we do a comparison. And in this study, on average, it was less than 1% of the guidance value. So that's how we determine its low level exposure as such.
So then, is this good news or bad news? I don't know. Because, I mean, you're finding it in people's system and you know, there are serious concerns about this. But, I mean, it's at incredibly low levels. Personally, I would like to have none of it washing around my system. So have you made what does this mean? What have you concluded from it?
So, as you said, it is good news that it's low-level exposure. That's the first important thing. The fact that it's only in a proportion of people is also important. But the European Union under initiatives like the Green Deal and the Farm to Fork initiatives, are trying to reduce pesticide use by 50% by 2030 and trying to have sustainable use of pesticides for a toxic-free environment. So we would still be pushing for careful use of chemicals, for workers that use chemicals, that they use other methods in their what's called integrated pest management schemes and tasks. And then, of course, the handling of chemicals at home, even, like, you know, people I think get a little bit used to chemicals, and it's surrounding us in our daily lives, an integral part of our daily lives. But people should be careful that when they use a chemical, that they read the safety instructions, that they use the appropriate equipment, whether it's gloves or a mask, and that we try to ensure that we protect certain zones. So, for example, like watercourses, to have buffers between watercourses to make sure that it's not leaching into our
That's what we waters. Can do at home. But I mean, we learned the end of last year that Donegal County Council is one of the largest users of toxic weed killers in Ireland. 28 out of 31 local authorities in Ireland are still using chemical herbicides like Roundup, and we know that they have been linked to cancer, spending tens of thousands of euro on that stuff. Now, this is being sprayed on sides of roads, sides of footpaths, I presume. You know, a lot of what you've talked about now is, you know, people who work with it, or us being careful at home, but going around your everyday business, walking to and from the hospital or something, you know, to be exposed by your dog brushing up against this grass or whatever it might be. How concerned are you that local authorities seem to be using the likes of Roundup so routinely still?
Well, I can't talk to the Donegal County
Local
Council,
authorities generally then, let me say.
Oh, local authorities. So some local authorities, the use of it, which I've spoke to local authorities about this, some of it, to them, it feels a little bit unavoidable. So, for example, like plants that are invasive species, so giant hogweed, for example, it's a public concern because it can cause blisters, especially if children run up against it and it gets exposed to UV light. So for uses like that, yes, I think that they still use it for them kind of things, and to make sure that their roads are clear for driving to prevent any road accidents. But as I said, with the European Union initiatives now coming into play, we hope to see a 50% reduction over the next 8 years to 2030. And of course, we would always say try and use like the least amount as possible so that the risk can be as low as reasonably practical.
Okay, fascinating. It's good to know this stuff. Thanks to you and your teams for looking into it. Take care of yourself. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Dr. Alison Connolly, exposure scientist who conducted that research there. Right, let's get on to some of your comments here that have been coming in. I believe, from both being a parent and a student, that yes, there is a need for basic level homework like reading and spelling, but excessive homework is unacceptable. If a child's homework is taking hours, the basics are not being covered in the classroom, and parents, guardians are picking up the slack as everyone wants to help and see their child achieve. I think too, though, that in the environment, and we saw this through lockdown, in the environment at the kitchen table or wherever it might be, different students will perform differently in terms of motivating themselves as well. I think that also has to be factored in. Love listening to Joe's common sense approach to things. He mentioned the elephant in the room. That's the case in many situations, debates in this country, and conveniently, consciously ignored. It's often one root cause of problems or issues. Another, is there anything being done for the weight of school bags? I can barely lift my kids' bags. It's ridiculous and dangerous for their backs. It is indeed. I presume that is tied into homework. Like, is your child have access to a locker? Are they going to the locker and switching books out and leaving books behind them? Or are they impatiently running for the bus or to the car with their bag full of books? Just throwing that in there. I'm not saying that's what's going on here, but I wonder, is there an element of that there? I don't know. Is there anything to be done for the weight of school bags? I can barely lift my kids' bags. Yeah, and that's the duplication. Louise, on our socials, there's no way they will cover everything that needs to be covered within school hours. It won't be any less pressure, as it will just be crammed into school hours or school hours extended. My daughter's doing her leaving cert. It's very full on. Ursula says, ditch the homework. Antoinette, let kids be kids and let them play after school. They'll have enough stress when they are older. Shirley, I've got two kids that do soccer, Gaelic and badminton. Doing these activities in the evenings always puts pressure, stress on the kids and parents when they have homework. We're out 5 evenings a week with these activities. And in my opinion, these activities are good for the social interaction and fitness, which is very important too. Brina, having to do homework on new topics you do at school and then have to find time as well in the evenings to be able to study for mocks and leaving certs a lot and can be stressful. And then being able to have time to yourself as well, there simply is none. Shauna says, my daughter's in first class and if she didn't have that little bit of homework at night, I wouldn't really know where she's at, what she can do. So at a young age, homework I think is needed. But I love it when she's got no homework. I have two in secondary school and they don't really get homework. Shauna, do they not get homework or are they not telling you? Tina says, scrap it. They're in school 6 to 7 hours, 5 days a week. That's enough. Home is for doing things with your family like board games, walks, going to parks and having fun. Stress in children isn't good. So their homework should be doing things with their families. End of. Kids are getting more and more stressed though. I wonder if anything, everything that we're trying to do in terms of stress avoidance, I wonder is it fully working? Bernard says, should be done away with years ago. Children have no social life anymore. By the time they get homework done, it's nearly bedtime. It's no wonder there is that much depression in young ones. Tricia says, having been a teacher, I always found it just stressed children out. In Finland, they don't set homework and they have the best education system in the world. And two more. Maria says, I think they do enough in school. Maybe a little bit of reading, but nothing else. Primary school homework isn't too bad, but the children in secondary school definitely get way too much for each subject. Kids doing 6 to 7 hours in schools, then coming home to sometimes more than 2 hours of homework. It's a joke. And again, conscious that some students have quite a distance to travel to and from school too, don't they? And Samantha, finally, don't agree with it. So long enough in school. You don't go home from work and continue to work. So school should be the same. Not only do a lot of people not go home from work and continue to work, it's protected by legislation that work cannot contact them at home outside of hours. So for adults, when their working day is done, in most cases, they're actually protected constitutionally or through legislation, so they can't be contacted when they're not at work. That's what adults have. That's the protection they have. At school, we send the work home with them. Is there something to that? Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Don't go anywhere. We've got some live music for you. We've got Owen Ferry. He recently released his debut song, The Way I Loved You. He's going to be performing live for us, so don't go anywhere. I pay VHI and had to pay for all x-rays and consultations. It's a small price to pay for pain-free hips. I don't know if this is a chair or my hips are on their way out, but anyway, my back is in bits. Hi, Greg. No word about security in the hospital today. Did the HSE get back to you? Yes, they have two security guards on at least 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Oh, no, are we ready to go? Do you feel relaxed?
Yeah, I do.
Are you good? All right, yeah. Okay. This is Owen Ferry, who's in studio with us. You've released a debut song, The Way I Loved You.
I have.
Right, exciting?
Very excited, yeah.
All right, tell us about your music career, when you first got your interest in music.
Just kind of when I was young, as a child, I was always just interested in music. I was always singing and around the place. And, you know, in primary school, there was a huge emphasis on music. We would always be singing, and every Christmas, we would do a Christmas concert with Moya Brennan. And
so the influences, you got some great influences really early on, didn't you?
And just have so many amazing opportunities too. Growing up, I was a part of the Cranog, and we would do like lessons with Mairead Niuini too. It was amazing to get experience and lessons from someone like that. I do piano with the DMEP with Andrina Gooch as my teacher. I'm a part of the Donegal Youth Choir, and I also do singing lessons then with Sarah Loughlin.
When did you bring the sort of keyboard stroke piano into your performances?
I started learning the piano when I was about 6.
Yeah.
And then kind of started when I was about 13 then. I started kind of singing and playing, and I just kind of grew it on then.
And where do you perform at the moment now? I mean, obviously, you've talked about the collectives that you're part of. And
yeah.
Have you performed, or do you perform as an individual?
I do, yeah. I don't do any kind of gigs of my own, but I've had so many like opportunities from Moya Brennan and Club Yaw and Leo's. Leo's Tavern in Crawley is just amazing with Club Yaw's, the opportunity just to get up on the stage.
And you've been in a few open nights as well where you can go in for one or two.
Yeah, that's yeah. there, Club Yaw.
Right.
Yeah, okay. It's just an opportunity.
Which is good grounding for you, isn't it? Because
yeah.
it's nice just to, because, you know, you there will come a time where you want to be out there gigging and whatever, and it's just
definitely.
To get a feeling. What's it like performing in front of strangers?
I honestly prefer performing in front of strangers because I don't know them. It's better than performing in front of people I know.
So when did you start writing stuff here for yourself?
This is the very first song that I've ever written. So I wrote it started last February, and I kind of sat down with my cousin and we kind of came up with a story and just kind of put it to music. And then I left it for, we kind of forgot about it for a couple of months and then came back to it in about July or August and finished it. But that's the first song I ever wrote, and now I'm kind of, more ideas are coming to me now that I've written. Yeah.
But of course, as well, and I mean, like, there's an awful lot 16-year-olds have to deal with, right? But I think an awful lot of times songwriters have maybe real life living to sort of fall back on a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have an awful lot going on in your life as a teenager as well, too. So there's plenty of source information there, isn't there?
Yeah.
For you to write on. All right, shall we listen to it then?
Yeah, sure.
Are you ready to go? Okay, yeah. The Way I Loved You is the track. All right, and it's brand new. Right, whenever you're ready.
Yeah. It all started on October 3rd. It was so quiet, no one said a word. We talked all night. Was there was something in the air. We lay all night without a care. You look so perfect when you're lying there. This feeling's so right, don't leave me here.
Love anyone like the way I loved you. In the heart.
to say that I don't care, but I'm not really fine. By now I've realized that the only heart that's breaking is mine. And as time goes on, you'll find that it's true, that I'll never love anyone like the way I loved. You know that I will come back.
Well done. That's lovely, Owen. It really is very good. It's as good as anything out there at the moment, I think.
Oh, thank you so much.
What I mean by that, it's about getting people to hear it.
Definitely.
Isn't that really where success comes from now? Yeah. I mean, I think you know that's a good song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
No, but you know it yourself. Now it just is getting to the right ears.
100%.
You know, getting the radio play.
Yeah.
And all that type of stuff. You drew a bit of inspiration from Taylor Swift's songs. What is about...
Oh, definitely.
I mean, her story's amazing, really.
Oh, 100%.
It's an amazing story all round. But is it her writing style, her delivery,
I just think the way that she puts her lyrics in her songs and the stories that she puts forward in her songs are just amazing. She's a genius, like.
And yeah, and that helps you then with structuring, presumably, and storytelling. Yeah,
100%.
Brilliant
yeah.
stuff. All right, and it's a cracking ballad. Do you see, you know, your next few releases when you get down that road as ballads, or can you see yourself doing a bit up tempo stuff, or what?
I'd definitely love to try to do something a bit more
now
up tempo, but. I don't know, try different things.
Yeah.
Is what I want to do.
Well, you don't have to pigeonhole yourself. Just see where it takes you next. Yeah. 100%. It's very exciting. All right. What do you want to do with this track now? Obviously you've got it released. If you got it out and streaming, you've put a video together actually, which I think is really important. A lot of people maybe think, who needs a video now? But I think you do.
Yeah, I'm so happy that I got the video and the opportunity to do the video.
And did you come up with the ideas for the video as well?
No, the people that actually did the video with a company from Derry called Buy Elephant, and their ideas just was in the far and the park was just so simple, and I just loved it. It was
works.
Very
good. Okay, cool. A lot of reaction coming in. Wow, beautiful. Well done, Owen. Fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
For people watching you all over the place, as well as your local support. All right. So if people want to watch the video, YouTube, is that it?
Facebook, actually.
Facebook, okay.
It will be on YouTube eventually. I haven't gotten around to it.
Better because the adverts on YouTube, if you don't have premium, it's kind of like...
Exactly.
You know, so, I don't want to read digital books. Stop telling me.
I know.
Buy bloody subscriptions to digital books.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so Facebook's the place to go.
Owen Ferry Music.
Owen Ferry Music, EOIN, Ferry Music on Facebook. You'll see the video there. It was shot in St. Columbus Park in Derry.
It was.
All right, and the track itself, have you got it up on the streaming platforms?
It is on Spotify, Apple Music, and the rest.
And that's exciting. Because obviously obviously it's great to have your local support and what have you, but if someone in Indonesia sort of plays it 10 times.
I was looking at
all the countries
that it's been listened to. It was crazy. It was Thailand and Indonesia and Australia.
It's so exciting, isn't it? Because you don't actually get that feedback from Facebook either.
Oh, definitely not, because you can't see.
Yeah, so to get that, it's all very exciting.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, you're going to have to keep momentum going now, because if that does as well as it should, people are going to want new stuff for you really quickly, so you can't wait another 16 years.
I know.
And you mentioned you wrote that with your cousin.
I did, yeah.
Are you sure about that now?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Taylor Swift has had her problems with people claiming to have written her songs.
Oh, I know. No, definitely. Yeah, I did.
They've got a credit and all, yeah?
Yeah, no. Yeah, they did. My cousin Aaron and Eve.
I'm only joking. All right, brilliant. Okay, and maybe a few gigs over the summer?
Or definitely.
Are you going to hold off on that for a bit?
No, well, I'm performing in the Merton Dunlow Festival.
Oh, brilliant.
In July, and hopefully I'll have a good few other stuff coming up too.
Great stuff. And we've a brilliant competition running here at the moment. I hope you enter something into it, Owen. Like I would encourage all our guests. I mean, we've had two young bands in, and you as a young artist in, and genuinely both songs are, they could go onto any, I think they could go onto any playlist.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm not just saying that either. Sometimes I do just say it, but not on this occasion. All right, anything you want to add, Owen, before we wrap up, before we take a break?
I'm happy enough. That's perfect.
Good stuff, because you have an A4 sheet of paper there. And
I know.
I was thinking there's something he needs to say.
Oh, I just usually forget everything, so I needed to remind myself what to say.
I think you've done it all. I presume you want to thank people for supporting you too.
100%. I'm so grateful.
Right. It's a fantastic journey that you're on. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
And I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Okay, how good was that? I think very good is the unanimous cry back towards the radios and Facebook and YouTube. That's Owen Ferry. That's his debut song, The Way I Loved You. He's just 16 years of age. Not that that matters, but still I think it makes it all the more impressive. And the track was recorded at Full Tilt Studios with Tommy and the crew. And the music video, you can watch that on Owen Ferry Music. Go on to Facebook and give the page a like and a share as well. Again, it's one of those things, you know, share the song and you help with the growth of Owen's career and getting more ears and eyes on his music. All right, great stuff. 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts, get them into us on anything you want to discuss. Right, Glenn have expressed disappointment with the GEA's decision not to review Kilmacrud Croke's 16th man on the pitch at the end of the All-Ireland final unless they specifically object to it. And I think there's sort of two laws the GEA can evoke on this one, really. One where they could intervene and one where they could rely on the losing team, in this case, to make a complaint. So we wanted to get the views of an expert in this regard. So we got Eamon McGee, former inter-county footballer and columnist. Eamon, thanks for your time this morning. Good to have you on again. Eamon, can you hear me? No, Eamon can't hear me just at the moment. So what I'll do is I'll kick him out and bring him back in again. That normally does the trick. 086 60 25,000, by the way, if you want to get involved in that conversation, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Eamon, can you hear me? No, we aren't getting Eamon just at the moment here. Right, I'll come back to that just in a second. Oh, back to the weed killer there. It was never proven that Roundup is linked to cancer. In fact, they admit it's probably not linked to cancer. Well, I wouldn't like to roll the dice on that one. Hi, Greg. Great show as usual. Any idea what I can do about a neighbour's dog that barks all day long, non-stop? One neighbour now has four dogs and they also wander about into everyone's garden. We live in a rural area. I don't know how to go about saying it to them as I don't want to fall out with them, but it's beyond a joke at this stage. I'm not really quite sure what you can do in that regard. We get to different advice in at different times, but anyone out there, rural area. Hi, Eamon. A rural. I'm just chatting to you as if I've just bumped into you in the street.
Sorry,
but this
sorry.
Is good stuff.
I don't know.
Good
what's to have here this morning. How's things?
It's great. It's good to have you. I was filling in there. This is a tough one, isn't it? As it relates to this football match, because at the moment, the victory is arguably there's an asterisk there. If you lost, you don't want to sort of say, you know, we're sore losers and maybe we wouldn't have won the game. And you kind of look to the GEA to intervene and they're kind of evoking one rule whereby they put it on Glenn to lodge a complaint. It's a messy one after what was a really good game, Eamon. What's your take on it all?
It was a brilliant game, and I think that needs to be pointed out first. Played in great spirits, and it was probably, you know, it was as good a final as we've had in a long time now. But the thing about it is that, first of all, Kilmacud didn't knowingly break the rules here, and that should be pointed out, that they it was just an error, be it administrating or by the referees or whatever. It's been an error by them, and it shouldn't be up to, I think, the leadership shown by the GAA. Now, I was under the impression that the GAA's hands were tied in terms of can they putting it on the club, but supposedly, and you kind of don't want to quote the great Joe Brawley now, but he's more knowledgeable in these things in terms of the rule book and the statutes and all that, and he says that there is a rule clearly defined that allows for the GAA to take leadership and offer the, be it the whatever happens from the appeal, be it the replay, the fine, or, you know, handing the results to Glenn Moran, I don't think that would happen. I think the replay would be the probable outcome if there was an appeal. And I've said there's a kind of, it's a grey area in terms of the appeals. The appeals process in sports, and, you know, we know more about the GA. It's definitely a grey area. There's at times where you should appeal, and there's times where you're probably better off not appealing. And you've got to judge that whole area. And I think this is a situation for me where it's a black and white issue, that because Glenn, they're rural club, they don't know, they've gone through a golden generation, they've got an All-Ireland final, don't know, will this come again? And there's always going to be what-ifs, and maybe, because there was 16 men on the pitch, that whether he had an influence or not, there were 16 men on the pitch on a crucial time of the game, and, you know, you have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, and it is a tough one, isn't it? Because there's a great deal of pride in the sport as well, and you don't want to, A, either be seen as a sore loser, or you don't want a tarnished victory. Would a replay resolve this for you, do you think? Do you think that would be a fair conclusion to this? Or maybe get both teams and the GAA into a room and thrash it out? I don't know. It's hard.
Well,
it's a tough
right,
one.
It shouldn't be on both teams. Like, yeah, if there is a window here for the GAA and to show about the leadership, instead of putting it on... Like Glenn, they're a group of volunteers sitting up there in Derry at the minute, and they have such a decision to make. And it's a hard decision, and it's in a disgrace that it's been put on them. And the appeal, probably, like the fine, you know, it's going to be a slap on the wrist. There's nothing really going to come from it. It would be totally unfair for the game to be awarded to Glenn and take it out of Kilmacud's hands. So the appeal is probably the soundest option here,
and the replay.
The replay would be the soundest option and the likeliest outcome, and it would suit both parties. And I just think it's too much at stake for what the lads have put into it, and what's at stake in terms of the history. It's a long life. You to think on the what ifs, and you possibly if there
and the more and the more I speak to excellent GA fellas, or even those, you know, that are towards the end of the career, it really does stick around, doesn't it? Like, it, you're not just saying
something like that sticks around. We were down in Angrenan watching the Jimmies win a matches play, which was brilliant, by the way. And we got talking afterwards, and, you know, one of the big topics of discussion was the final we lost in 2014 and how it still sticks in the craw. Like, and, you know, that's nearly 8 years ago, and it's still times where it just stops you and think, can't believe. Because when you put something so much into football or into this aspect of your life and it doesn't work out, it's a big blow to take. And I think them Glen boys will be the same. They've lost an All-Ireland final, and there's a great generation there in Glenmara, and there's a lot of good players, and they're not saying that they won't get there again, but they might not. And it's just not a chance that you want to take with the what ifs.
So your preferred outcome to this would be that the GAA shows leadership here and looks after the integrity and reputation of the game. Let's face it, it's charged with doing that, and it orders a replay. But then, is it possible then that Kilmacud Crokes could appeal that? We don't really know what they're saying, because the GAA could suggest an appeal, and then the winners, although with an extra man at a potentially pivotal part of the game with a 45.
I think, you know, Kilmacud, if you're talking about if they would appeal, I think the issue's fairly black and white. That there was 16 players on the field, and there was actually 17, but the seventh, there was one of the players just on the periphery of the field and probably wasn't involved in the game and didn't have an influence on things now. And, you know, I was actually listening to something on the sports this morning, and the manager that was involved with Kilmacud's had a similar, he was on the other side of this, you know, that the opposition team he played against in 2009 fielded, put on an extra sub, so they were only allowed three subs at the time, and they took on a fourth sub, and that team appealed it, and they got through, they lost the fixture, and they got through to this. So the manager knows of the Kilmacud manager has history, so he's got to hold the hands up too.
Right, okay, so you favour GAA calling a replay, that if you had a shout, that's yours?
Yeah, that would be my shout, and I think the GAA just need to step up here and show and take it out of Glenn's hands and take it out of, you know, take the pressure off Kilmacud too. They're probably under a bit of pressure here themselves.
Maybe go best of three.
And no, I think that the GAA needs to step up here. There's an opportunity, and from what I understand, it's in the rule books that they have the opportunity to do this now.
Brilliant stuff, Eamon, as always. Thank you so very much indeed. That's Eamon McGee there, former inter-county footballer and columnist as well, of course. Can't wait for the summer. A, weather, hopefully. B, longer days. C, not having to buy coal and oil and every other bloody thing costs a fortune. And D, maybe our electricity bills might go down. Who's to say? We're talking about electricity bills with Louise now. Hi, Louise.
Morning, Greg.
Right, okay, so you, like a lot of people, I think, thought a smart meter meant the end of sending in your meter readings. Is that the case, or do we know, or what's the story? What's your situation?
Well, I have looked up Electric Ireland, and it does say if you have a smart meter, you don't need to send in a reading. And needless to say, when I moved into the house I'm in now currently, I moved in about 2.5 years ago, I had the smart tariff set up, and it was going fine. And then I changed in to get my bills in monthly back in August, I would say, just to try and kind of help with the funds. And my meter readings haven't been, obviously it hasn't been reading. I've been getting estimated bills in since then. And I reached out to Electric Ireland on it, and they said, just send in your meter readings. But obviously, I didn't have the wee key to open the door. So I just didn't bother because I thought, oh, it'll be fine. And then last week, there was a gagging around the doors to get me to sign up to a new supplier. And I was like, yeah, do you know what? I'll do it to see if it helps. And he went out to open the door of the meter box, and my smart meter wasn't working. It was completely blank. There was water getting into it. So I rang up to Electric Ireland and got them to send a fault request form over to the ESB and to tell them that it was water damaged. You know, it was pretty, I suppose, dangerous. And it took ESB a week to come out then. They were only out yesterday to put on a new smart meter for me. So I don't know now. I have to wait now. They said maybe between 8 and 10 weeks for them to sort it out, whether or not I owe them money or maybe they owe me money, which
I think I could put a guess in on that one. Can you imagine getting a refund? And you know what? They wouldn't refund you. They'd give you a credit on your bill if it were ever to work in your favour. So really, you thought, I have a smart meter in, this is all happening automatically, but the truth be told, it may never have happened because the meter wasn't working.
Yeah. So I suppose what I'm trying to say, a lot of people maybe are thinking the same as me and don't have the wee key to open it, and it wouldn't do any harm maybe to check to make sure to see if the meters are working, because they are supposed to send the reading across straight away. But for me, I did say to the guy on the phone last week on Electric Ireland, I was like, should this not have been triggered by them, that they're not getting meter readings from my meter for months? But he couldn't answer me.
So when you opened the door, the smart meter was blank. What did you read? What did you get the meter reading off then?
There was no meter reading. I couldn't change suppliers then last week because of that. It's a hold up now on that because I have to get the meter. Obviously, it was replaced yesterday, and now Electric Ireland, it can take 8 to 10 weeks for them to sort out now, I suppose, the reading on it.
They're not
compared
gonna,
to the last reading they got.
Yeah, but they're not going to... So they're going to have to take a reading for the next month and then apply it retrospectively. But... If they take a meter reading for January, right, where it's dark and I don't know how you heat your house, maybe you've electric heaters or something like that.
It's
there,
air to water,
right? You don't want your January bill to apply to the end of August to August and September, but hopefully they work that out. But do you know what I mean? You'd have been using much less power in some of those months than you might this month.
Yeah. Exactly, so I could be getting a huge bill in now, who needs that this time of year, like, but it's just, I suppose, just for people to be aware that they should maybe check in on the meters just to make sure that they're not getting water damage, because I don't know how the water gets in, because that door was never open since I moved in. It seems airtight, but the wee board at the back, kind of the back of the meter boxes, there's like a plasterboard or something. Yeah. It is completely drenched with water. I mean, the guy took the smart meter off yesterday. The water was dripping out of it, so could have been very serious.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. Electricity. And come here, that water pump that you have, is it good?
air to water heating system, it's good, yeah, and I have no problems with it. The house is always warm, but as I say, I suppose with me turning the heating up over the winter and the bill's been estimated, I could be getting a huge bill in now.
Keep us updated, Louise, because I think it's unfair if your January or you know, half of January, half of February assessment is then used to apply to July, August, or however long you've been paying, you know, believing that you were saving electricity, for example. You know what I mean? You might have tried to save electricity that, and you've been wasting your time effectively if they don't do it fairly. All right, Louise, keep us updated on that. Thanks for that. Lovely to chat to you.
Will do, Greg.
Bye-bye. Okay, that's Louise there. Caller says there should be no homework, schoolwork in school, home time, family time and rest. Method in teaching should be fun in school so it stays as fun memories, not bureaucratic teaching. Can you give a big shout out to all the team at Letterkenny Hospital Emergency Department for excellent and fast service I received on Monday night when I had to attend with an injury. Thank you. Well done, team. It's very much appreciated. I left school because I couldn't handle the homework. Wasn't home until 5 p.m, then had to start homework. I wasn't able for half of it, then dreaded the next day, the big row in class, the detention. I just threw in the towel and left. Why is the City West not one of the top news stories in Ireland today? Why are Irish people hiding the mayhem and destruction and property that these immigrants are causing? Why is it a big secret? And why is the name of the man who murdered hospital? See, now I'm not going to read that because you're what happens here is everything that's wrong, people are trying to put on immigrants. Okay, which I understand where that's coming from. The City West, you know about the fight, the Gardaí being called there, that's widely reported in the media. Like, I think some people don't sort of access the mainstream media and then wonder why things aren't on it when they are and maybe they don't hear. As it relates to every other crime, well, let's just wait and see. I'm not really quite sure. I'm not really quite sure who's responsible for that. We'll get a name at some point. Then they go on to say, what is going on in our beautiful country and why are we letting strangers take advantage of it? I don't know. I mean, certain strangers we love, millions of them coming in every summer and we take them for every penny they have as holidaymakers. I suppose it just depends on where the strangers are or who they are and where they come from. It seems. What's wrong with our government ministers? It's only a few weeks ago that Micheál Martin said he had total confidence in the Minister for Health. Why don't they listen to the ordinary people of this country? And if they've got a brain at all, they will reorganise the HSE from the top down. I've said it before, and until that happens, there'll be no change in the way hospitals are managed. Please God, there'll be no more horrible things to happen like that happened in Cork. That comes in from Anne. On to the football issue. If Joe Brawley says the match has to be replayed, it must be replayed. Okay. Another, the team knows the rules. 16 men, they should be disqualified. I don't think they knew the rules at the time. There was a double substitution. I suspect one of the players didn't realise he was due to be subbed out. End of the match. Heat of the moment. It happens, but there has to be consequences even if something's an accident sometimes, doesn't there? I live in an estate and a dog is left outside in a garden surrounded by a fence all day long. This dog is barking because it's lonely. Both owners are at work and we too are torn about what to do about it because we don't want to fall out with the neighbours, but it's cruel. Is it cruel? Is a dog outside lonely? Is that cruel or is it annoying? Let us know. What do you think? Barking dogs, Greg. We're in the same boat, but it's got to a stage where I'm going to call the ISPCA because it's simply not fair in the dog. Maybe people got dogs during lockdown. You know, people think it's a great idea. I think we've all been that soldier at one time or other. But the reality is when you go back to work or when your life changes or if you have a child or money gets tight, you know, priorities change, don't they? In the interest of sportsmanship, there should definitely be a replay of the Glen game. All right, thanks for that. Last year, I was playing in a golf competition. It was a team event. At the second tee box, we realised that we teed off from the wrong tee on the first hole. The difference was only about 2 metres and was no advantage. However, because we breached the Duke of Golf, we had to disqualify ourselves from the competition. So it should be the same with the Club All-Ireland final. Kilmacrud should be disqualified. What happens afterwards is up to the rule enforcers. Greg, only if the summer job wages goes over €6,000. Yeah, that's in relation to it affecting your SUSE grant. I know, but it shouldn't. I know people have accidentally gone over, is all I'm saying. Why can't students take advantage of online learning like what they've done in lockdown? But why should students be Why should they be deprived of going to Letterkenny or Sligo or Dublin or Galway? Why should they have to learn from home? Because we can't get a system right that allows them to learn in college, to have that experience. It's part of their growth. GEA is a disgrace, can't stand on their own and make a decision. Rules are rules, either use them or scrap them. All right, okay, no sympathy there. Greg, what happened in this country with all the rapes, men and women, knife attacks in hotels, worrying times? Firstly, one of those rapes that you talk of never happened, the one in Dublin. Secondly, unfortunately, and we really need to think for ourselves here, very tragically, open up a newspaper, open it up any year, unfortunately, women have been treated badly by Irish men for a very, very, very long time. You know, there is nothing new. Maybe get our own house in order as well as look at what else needs to be done. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, I don't want to insert myself in that debate because it's not really up to me and I don't make decisions. I just think we need to make sure that we're not scared into thinking a certain way by maybe people with their own ulterior motives, who's to say? Anyway, but listen, keep the calls and conversations going. 086 60 25000. Have a lovely Tuesday the 24th of January. We're back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to it already.